Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is not with us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. We are honored to have the opportunity to talk once again with Agnes Swofa. Agnes is the founder and executive director of the Australian Sickle Cell Advocacy. You can recall that Agnes made a drastic career change when her youngest child was born with sickle cell anemia. She's helped to bring sickle cell awareness, the need for testing, treatment options, and research to the forefront in Australia and around the world. Thank you for taking the time to join us again, Agnes.
Hi, Agnes.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me. It's been a while, but I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Been a while, and COVID in between. My goodness. So how are you and your family?
Well, we are okay. We are surviving. I'll tell you that this week again we are back in lockdown.
Okay.
So Melbourne sort of came back to normal for a while. We came out of lockdown. Life started getting okay. We started going back for work, and the numbers so here we sort of different states have got different rules, and we behave like different countries. So in New South Wales, where, if you know about Sydney, mm-hmm. Sydney is the capital of New South Wales, their numbers are rising, so the borders are closed between I'm in Victoria, Melbourne. So if I talk about Melbourne, I'm in Victoria. Okay. The borders between Sydney and Melbourne, they are closed because their numbers are just off the roof. They're rising there. And this week, we started getting the numbers as well. I think we got 10 or so. So I'm in lockdown for 5 days until next week, Wednesday, while I'm in lockdown. So it's just up and down.
Okay.
And every state, they've got their own rules. So it's just crazy, but we are getting there.
Okay. I kind of understand that we kind of all let go of the whole thing where we were wearing masks and everything, and people were actually not wearing masks anymore.
Not us.
We're still wearing masks.
But a lot of people were, yeah.
And it was permitted by, you know, legally it was permitted, and now it's back to wearing masks. And people, I think, are more cognizant of the fact that we still need to be extremely cautious.
Yeah, same here. And I think it's actually been a personal decision. If you just want to be safe, you just have to continue wearing a mask even if you're not directed to. So.
Right.
It's difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
And Agnes, how have you maintained your friendships and family connections during the pandemic?
Well, the Zoom, mostly we have Zoom. It's become the new norm, I tell you. It's become the new norm. We've had events, birthday parties, unfortunately funerals as well, over Zoom, and talking it's just been you know, easy. But face to face, I tell you, even the time that we were allowed to actually be able to visit, there was a time when we came out of lockdown completely. I just couldn't feel comfortable. So for us, as I told you last time, we have a child who had the bone marrow transplant 2019. So 2020 was a very critical period for us because she didn't have any immunizations. So even before we were allowed to, they put restrictions about lockdowns and everything. For us, the family, we had already started that because we were in hospital, then we came home. So even after that, I still feel it's too soon for me for our family to be around people when it's very uncertain. You know, I treat everyone like they have COVID for us.
Right.
So it's just easy for us to just see ourselves. We've had visitors once in a while when they lifted the restrictions, but we've never had a lot of face-to-face friends coming or events during last year and this year. Mostly it's through Zoom and phone calls, but Zoom has really been helpful. We've had so many events over Zoom.
I bet their stock went through the roof.
Oh, Okay. but we can understand. When my cousin had a transplant, it was basically the same. I mean, it was more stringent than the protocol they put out for COVID, where, you know, you have to make sure you're careful with your groceries and you clean your groceries when you get home and you wear gloves and masks when you go out in public and no ice from restaurants and there and you have to clean the house, you know, in extra. Yeah. So it was good practice for us to get ready for COVID because we once again. Yeah. And she was already used to wearing masks. So and we were, too. So
right. Right. Yeah. It doesn't it's not bothering us at all.
No, it doesn't faze us. Agnes, I was wondering, how did the pandemic change the way you and your family, and especially, you know, your daughter, receive health care?
Yeah, so most of the things really changed in that we, even up to now, actually, you don't have to go into hospital. Most of the appointments are through telehealth. Mm-hmm. So telehealth is through, pretty much like Zoom. So you are with the doctors on their computer, they're, you know, some of the appointments, I even tell, like, how are you going to do this appointment? Like, we've had, she had a chest appointment. We had to do it on telehealth. I'm like, don't you need to listen to the chest or something? But they've got their own questions that they ask. So mostly it's been through telehealth. But also it's been a lot of anxiety on our part. I tell you, it will take time for me, especially as a mom, to just be comfortable that my daughter can go to a place where, like, somebody's sneezing and coughing and it's okay.
Right.
So during the pandemic, she actually herself, she'll be like, I don't want to go to hospital. I don't want to get sick. We had to cancel some appointments because she was that anxious to go to visit the hospital.
Sure.
So either way, even if we go to the hospital, there's so many protocols. You can only go this way. You can only go that way. You have to put on masks. You get to the hospital, you take it off. They measure your temperatures, you go through a queue. So many protocols that you have to follow. And when you're there, you're just anxious. Like, you don't want to touch anything. You don't want to be near anyone. Because, as I've said, I treat anyone like they have it.
Right.
But also, to make it easy for the hospitals, we had a lot of telehealth appointments, which sometimes are okay. But most of the time, like, you find that you forget. Because, you know, you're always getting used to getting in the car, driving to the hospital. But then you have to remember that, oh, I need to dial in. And we have forgotten a few appointments because we forgot that you actually have to dial in. Our brains and our mindset are just that if I've got an appointment, either I go to the GP, I drive, or if I go to the hospital,
right,
then I can, you know, I can see the doctor. This new normal is something that you have to get used to.
Exactly.
And now we have to put notifications on our phone, like at 11 a.m., you know, we have a telehealth, you have to log in. So, yeah, it's something that you have to adjust to. It's different. But
okay.
It's working.
Right.
It's over a year now. It's working.
Right, yeah. I think everybody's finally getting used to it. What makes me realize how difficult it must be for people that don't have internet connections. And there are probably millions of people in the world that don't have internet connections. And what did they do?
Yeah. That's a challenge that I feel in other less resource countries. Like, I've got a lot of friends that are from an African background, for example. It's difficult. You see all these news and all these messages on social media about people. And, you know, right now, like the third wave in African countries, this is when it's really hard. Like, hit them hard. The first wave, you know, people are talking about how come there's no COVID in Africa. Second wave wasn't so much, but now it's really, really bad. As I'm from a Zambian background. Right now we are in the middle of doing fundraising to help the frontline workers because they are dying. They're dying in numbers because of challenges as well in terms of just everything, as you know. Anything to do with medical issues and other issues in the less resource countries is just hard.
Right.
So you find that, you know, these things you are talking about, telehealth, it's not available for them.
No.
Most of them.
No.
They may have a few, but it's not as common as it is in developed countries like where you are or where I am. So it's very challenging.
Right.
And
yeah, we're very lucky, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, and sometimes we take things for granted. Things like donating blood, for example. I know here in Australia we had a few members of ours were a bit anxious when the pandemic started, and they were selecting who they're going to test for COVID at the time. So our organization actually had to write each and every state minister to say people living with sickle cell disease should also be in the category of those people to be tested. You don't have to wait, because they had restrictions, like you have to be, have you been away overseas or you know, over 14 days, all these questions that they had to answer. So it's like, just make it easy. Mm-hmm. If somebody has sickle cell, they need to be tested. And right. then some of them were like, you know, I depend on blood every month. So mm-hmm. we had to now call and write letters to the Australian Life Blood Services to find out, like, is there any shortages of blood? What can we do? So we decided that we'll do our part and decided advertising and just talking about the importance of blood donations. Fortunately, we haven't had any shortages.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah. We and they assured us, the blood services, that no, there's never been any shortages for blood for patients living with sickle cell, or anyone who's needing blood or treatment options. But it's been, you know, just anxiety about people who depend on some of those things to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just anxious that maybe. And but fortunately, things like blood donations or blood transfusions for people living with sickle cell disease hasn't been an issue. We haven't received any reports apart from the first one, and we had to consult.
Well, that's fantastic, because I know we've had a lot of blood shortages here in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. We have.
And it's hard to, you know, get people to go out there. So they've been doing a lot of mobile blood donation centers and things of that nature.
Right. Yeah. Agnes, what adaptations have helped you at home and at work during COVID?
Well, working from home. I'm loving it, actually.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Loving it. And my office is everywhere. I can do my bed in my living room. I work from home most of the time, and a lot of meetings, we use Teams. I actually did, during the pandemic, I think the first year, 2020, I took off work, obviously, because of, you know, what I was telling you about my daughter, and they're just vulnerable.
Right.
But early this year, I took a new job. I did all my training, basically, and I just found that it's very difficult to be attentive on the computer from 9 to 5
sure.
for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was so difficult, and we were instructed to put the camera on. It was very difficult for me. That's new for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like interacting. You talk to people. You go on tea breaks. You talk. You have biscuits. But we had to be on the computer from 9 to 5 for 3 weeks to do the training. And then after that, when the restrictions were a bit of lifted, we started going, like, I'll go on site, wait for 2 or 3 days, and come back home and wait online.
Okay.
We've had a lot of, in terms of our organizations, if you follow us on social media, you see that we've had a lot of virtual events.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, when we sort of, the restrictions were lifted, we advertised for a dinner. We're supposed to have a face-to-face dinner, and we are so excited that, you know, finally the pandemic is gone. And then just a week before our event, that was on June 19th, we were in lockdown again for 5 days. So we had to cancel that because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't going to be possible. So we decided to bring entertainment. We had entertainment. Somebody was playing, you know, drums, music in the other room, and all met on social media. We've had a baby shower for one of our members. We've had birthdays. It's just, you know, I've just seen that there's so many things that we can do that we thought we couldn't do because of these restrictions.
Okay.
And we've made people from all over the world because of you know.
That's exciting.
Things like Zoom and other platforms. It's just been, it's a new normal, and we are just getting used to it.
Exactly. It is. It's going to be the new normal.
Right. I know. Here in the U.S., a lot of employees did not want to go back to work.
They're begging people to go back.
Yeah, when it did open up for a bit, yeah, they didn't want to go back. They said, you know, they prefer to work at home.
Everybody can, though.
Honestly, if you don't really require your presence to be in an office, if you're not like an essential worker where you have to be on site,
right.
I would every day of the day, I mean, every day of the week, I also prefer to be at home. I'm actually more productive when I'm at home, I think.
Yeah, and you don't have to commute.
Right.
So you're
helping to save the environment.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for parking, anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
I hate looking for parking.
You eliminate all that stress.
Yeah. Right. Agnes, over the past year or so, what role has self-care taken in your daily routine?
Wow, that's a very interesting question. It's come at the right time. So what I did, I honestly, during last year, I didn't take care of myself as I should be doing. And it's something that was at the back of my mind. I actually knew that I wasn't sleeping right. I wasn't eating right. I was just so busy, especially. So during the pandemic, what I came up with an idea through our organization. We contacted so many people who are impacted by sickle cell disease, and we had a webinar for series of webinars from August to January, full on, almost like every fortnight.
Okay.
We had 12 sessions every fortnight where we just come and talk about sickle cell disease, different topics from different parts of the world. That was the first ever in the world where we brought different countries together and just come on our Australian sickle cell advocacy page, and we just talk about different topics about sickle cell, brought different experts. And I was so busy because I pretty much planned that by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it took so much, it took a toll on me.
Right.
And I realized, I knew that I'm not doing things right in terms of looking after myself. So just about 10 days ago, I took a deliberate move to actually look after me. And I'm calling it a 28-day episode of self-care.
Okay.
So I've taken this 28 days challenge to self-care, and I'm documenting this on social media, mostly on LinkedIn. Today is actually my day 11. I didn't document yesterday, but I've got a draft I'm going to post. Deliberately taking care of myself in terms of the way I eat, the way I sleep. There's so many things, like I've also been reading, like it's not just about eating and sleeping, but also emotions like mental health, spiritual, social, physical. So I'm running right now. I've got a Koda, my dog, my best friend. We just like ran around the block. I've joined the gym. I do. Well, this week is off because obviously it's 5 days lockdown.
Right.
But I'm doing Zumba. Zumba twice a week.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I'm running a lot. But also it's just a matter of just sitting down. You're watching TV. That's just something that, you know, to relax. And but drinking, eating, exercising, and just making sure that you spiritually, socially, all those aspects, different aspects of social, that means self-care taken care of.
Fantastic.
So that's what I've been doing for the past 11 days. I've got another 19 days to go because it's 28 days. And I'm hoping after the 28 days, I will come into a routine because it's very difficult to change bad habits. I've got very bad habits where I rarely eat.
Mm-hmm.
I only eat like one good meal a day. But I want to become into a routine of having a good breakfast, at least even if I don't eat lunch, but I've got something like a fruit or a salad, and then I've got a big meal like I do. I've got very bad habits, eating habits, so I'm trying to adapt to habits, healthy choices, and healthy habits, and I'm hoping by the 28 days, I'll go into that habit of looking after myself properly.
Okay, well, we're rooting for you.
Yes, good advice for everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Let's connect on LinkedIn, then you can follow my journey for that.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, because I think it's something like we all have to do. And you are a very, very busy person, and now it sounds like you're even busier. But what helps you find a life-work balance, especially working from home?
I think having a plan. To be honest, I do wear a lot of hats, and some of the hats I'm trying to sort of let go. Part of this challenge to put myself first.
Mm-hmm.
So having a plan and having a balance to know that I work. I've got a full-time job that I work. I'm supposed to work from 9 to 5 every day. So I dedicate the 5 days, 9 to 5 strictly. I'm working. If I've got free time. Obviously, with this routine that I want to get on, I need to eat, work, take time off, and not do so many things at the same time, which I did last year, and it burnt me out. So I know I've got all these responsibilities. I'm passionate about things like sickle cell disease, and I need to dedicate time. I need to have time for everything. And obviously, I need to pay my bills. I need to work. But things that I do, like I'm passionate about, I have to have a limit for just certain times. And also making sure that I've got other people in my life as well that I need to take care of. So everything has to sort of have a plan, dedication, be passionate about something, but you need to be conscious that you have to have a plan to make this work.
Okay. That's great advice, too.
Yes, yes. Agnes, what is next for Australian Sickle Cell Advocacy?
Well, we've got so many projects. So we have a five-year strategic plan that we work on. But as of this year, we have lined up a few things, but I'm sure some of the things won't work. But because of the pandemic, obviously, we lined up, I think last year we organized the first ever sickle cell conference in Australia. We were supposed to do it face-to-face, but we had to cancel because of, obviously the times we are living in. So this year, again, we are doing this with the Blood Meeting, which is the Australian Society of Hematology and New Zealand. And we decided that, I think they're still going to go ahead. I keep following their website, so that they're still going to go ahead face to face. We decided to change ours to virtual events.
Okay.
So on the 17th and 18th of September, we are having the first ever sickle cell conference in Australia. That's something we put off last year. So we put it virtually because we've seen just how successful virtual events are happening. So we're having this on the Hoover Hub. This is where we're having the conference. And we have a few other things that we've planned face-to-face, but we need to change. But also, late this month or mid-next month, we're having another virtual men's conference.
Okay.
I've seen that men tend to shy away to talk about health.
Right.
So we have put a deliberate move. We have a few men who put their hand up to say, look, I'm ready to talk. So we are going to have a virtual conference for men only at a health forum. The conference is definitely happening. We have a few other events that are supposed to be fundraising events and face-to-face events, which I doubt if they're going to go ahead. We have to find another way of doing this. And we have other things in terms of policy. We've applied for newborn screening.
Mm-hmm.
In Australia, we are waiting. We need to lobby for that. It's a six-step process. We've gone through the first step, and then now we need to start lobbying and just getting in touch with policymakers to see this through. So there's a lot of other projects that we are working on, but we have a strategic plan to help us. So good things are happening, and we're hoping to meet some of our objectives despite the current climate.
Amazing.
Yeah, and if anyone can do it, I believe you can do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, on to the tips, hints, and tricks lightning round segment of the show.
She's trying to make it more fun and exciting. Okay, so it's like a game show.
Sort of, yeah. 10-question lightning round, Agnes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. Why is a positive attitude important to you?
I guess, you know, I didn't even plan for this question. I was just like, I'll just have to go for it.
It's okay.
I just have to go for it. So
yes.
Why is it positive attitude important to me? I think, again, it comes back to the mental health. If you're just positive about everything in life, I think it just works out for you. If of any sense, it can be bad news. And this is for me, honestly. Because of the challenges that we have with our sickle cell advocacy here in Australia, every time that I ask for something from the policymakers, I prepare myself how I'm going to get the bad news. It's strange. This is what I tell people, that I prepare myself when I open the email. I'm just like, it's bad news. And I'm like, it's okay. You know, that's not the end of the world. If it's good news, then I'm happy. So every time, no matter what news I get, I always see the good sense out of it. If it's bad news, I'm going to try again. If it's good news, good. But if it's bad news, it either drives me you know, harder to work harder next time. So
okay.
It's just good for your mental health to be prepared. Have a positive mindset all the time.
Great, great answer.
10 points. Okay. How do you keep that positive attitude during COVID?
Oh, during COVID, it's accepting the new normal. There's nothing you can do about it, no matter how hard you try. You know, as we've talked about masks, I can do that for me and my family. But there are people out there, seriously, I've seen people fighting with the police because they don't want to wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just have to accept the new normal and say, this is the world we are living in, and do the best you can for yourself and your family, and you can't control any surroundings around you. As long as you do your part, then I think I feel good about myself.
Oh, that's nice. A wonderful answer. 10 points.
Okay. What is your go-to meditation guide? Do you follow any meditating guides?
No, I'm very spiritual. So for me, that's meditation. I'm a very, very strong Christian.
Okay.
Everything that I do, no matter how hard it is, no matter how worse the news would be, like losing my dad, losing my best friends, all those things in life, no matter the worst news that I've ever received or seen in this world, the moment I just have that special one-on-one, I can actually feel God around me. This is even when our daughter was sick. Like, I could actually feel him in our room when our daughter was sick for the 40 days. And you know, even the doctors and the nurses would tell us that there's just something about this room. We mm-hmm. played gospel music almost 24/7. We'd wake up at 8, I think the rounds were about 8, until maybe about 10, 11 p.m. when we go to sleep. Every time we are playing gospel music. Before we went into the treatment itself, before we were admitted, I slept for 10 minutes outside the ward. They sent us back 3 times because the room wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
So the third time they told us to wait next door to the waiting room today, because it's only an 8-bed ward, sorry, for bone marrow transplant
okay.
at the children's hospital. So we were waiting for this room to be ready. They sent us the second time, third time. They said, you know, why don't you wait in the waiting room because your room is being cleaned. I slept for 10 minutes, and I dreamt God telling me exactly how our treatment was going to be. And I woke up and I told my husband, you know, this is what I dreamt. God was telling me that, you know, these are the kids who've had transplants. Your daughter is here. She'll be fine. I'm very, very spiritual. And anything that happens, no matter how bad it is, I always speak to God, and I can feel him. I can definitely feel him. So
okay.
I mean, nothing will beat that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, and spirituality is definitely part of the whole,
the whole
wellness,
person.
The
right.
wellness thing.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, another 10 points. Do you have any tricks for dealing with stress?
I take time off and listen to music. That works for me.
Okay.
I just take time off, or even like drive somewhere, or just sit in the car and just listen to music. And yeah, again, goes back to especially gospel music. I'll just be like, and if I'm just like my go-to songs, where I'll just put it on repeat, just repeat all the time, and just sing along. I become relaxed. So it goes back to being spiritual and just listening to music and just having that one-on-one with God. It's just easy for me. That's just the way I deal with it.
Fantastic.
Yep. Good one. What do you always bring with you to the doctor's office?
My phone.
Okay. Good answer. 10 points.
Yeah, I know. Me too. My phone has everything on it.
I have a list of my medications.
Yep, and my phone has got a lot of information in it, which is bad if you lose it. But
right.
Yeah, my phone, but also obviously your IDs and your medical cards. Here we call it Medicare card, which you need to go to. But yeah, my phone is the most important thing. It's got a lot of information on it.
Good answer. What do you use as a distraction during long waits in the doctor's office?
My phone.
Yep, me too.
I will just scroll down or read the news. There's nothing much to do. And you know, The funny thing for me, and when I talk about doctors, it's always my daughters. I've been to the GP. Let me not lie. I've been to the GP a few times where if I'm not on my phone, then I'm watching TVs around the GP. Where I go, they've got a TV on the wall, and I'll just watching even a movie or something. But mostly, I'll just sit there and scroll down, up and down on my phone.
Okay. Great answer.
Good answer. Mm-hmm. What do you do to help your daughter work through her pain flares?
When she does, well, she actually even now a few episodes. We know the routine, like especially when she had sickle cell disease, because sickle cell has to do with the clogging of the red blood cells in the vessels. So the more you drink water, the more you sort of clear the path. So the first routine was, take water first.
Okay.
How much have you drank?
Mm-hmm.
And then we take Panadol, and then that's when we paracetamol, I think, I don't know how you call it in the US. And then other options, but mostly we would take water first, then we'll talk about maybe we apply things like, oils or big rub-on or something on the skin or the area that's hurting or paining, and then we talk about any pharmacological interventions. But I would prefer to try other options, like use the rubbing, the massage, then you go to things like paracetamol and other medications to take.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah.
Okay, give us three of your favorite recreational pursuits.
I can't think of any at the moment.
I'm going to say singing.
Singing
is
running.
One.
Especially with your dog.
Uh-huh. Singing and running. So give us one more.
Singing, running, and what else would I like? Seriously, writing. I like a lot of
writing.
I write, and hopefully my book should be finished very soon.
You have to let us know because we want to definitely buy our copies.
Yes,
and our signed copies.
And I'm also writing a kids series, just in terms of making it easy for kids to understand sickle cell disease. My book should be, the first series should be out soon.
Good.
But also my own personal book should be out soon.
So, that's so exciting.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Congratulations.
That's what I do. Thank you.
Now, this is a strange one. What what animal best reflects your personality?
I'm so sorry.
Maybe the polar bear.
Polar bear.
He looks friendly. When I'm watching him in the movies and in the snow, mm-hmm. he's just rolling in the snow like, I don't care. Like, he's just a bear.
Mm-hmm. Right,
I think the polar bear.
And they fiercely guard their children.
Yes. And they do anything they have to protect their children.
Right, that's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't say a dog because my dog is a funny one. No, a polar bear definitely.
Okay. All right. We got it. Last question. What do you do to treat yourself?
I watch movies. Right now, I've just finished a series. Have you watched Younger?
No.
Is it on Netflix or Stan or both?
It might be.
It might be.
Yeah, look for it. It's so lovely. It's about this lady in her 40s who takes that she's 23 years and she goes out with this guy who's in his 20s, and it's just fabulous. It's a series.
Okay.
But now I've finished it, so now I have to wait every week. It's still going there in the US, but I have to wait now a week to watch it.
Okay.
So I, like last night, I was actually conscious about, that's why I'm going back to sleep. I was just watching until maybe about 1.
Oh, no.
And then I went to sleep. I had to finish, so. so I just like to take me time. When everyone is sleeping, including my husband, I'll just be here in the living room, me and the TV, and just watching these nice series. So.
Well, that is fantastic, and we're going to let you get back to sleep because we know it's bright and early over there.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining our show again today, and how can our listeners learn more about you and your foundation and help support we lost her.
Oh crap.
Okay, don't swear. Well, okay, we're going to put links on our show so you can support the show. And unfortunately, we just lost Agnes.
Right. But we'll put the links for her
foundation. Yes, and if you can, definitely, it's a worthy foundation. If you know anyone in Australia, let them know that you know they're still working on policy change.
Right, all the good work that she's doing.
Yeah, she's a force.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
She's the polar bear.
She is.
Well, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. Through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you've noticed, Lita is lisping slightly, and so am I, and neither of us is drunk. We're just missing teeth. If you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this... Wait. Oh, also, if you happen to see one of our episodes featured on Facebook, please leave a positive comment for us and Agnes, because we don't understand all the negative comments on Facebook.
Yeah,
we're not trying to sell you anything.
No, we're not.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or a treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and watch out for changes in the script that your mother makes. and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.